Hello, I'm Karen Kanakanui. Welcome to this audio report called How to Tell Great Stories That Grow Your Food Business. I'm a food storyteller and content creator at Stories Taste Good. And let me say straight off the bat that I understand that you don't have much time. Not many folks in the food business do. So whatever time you have to devote to marketing, well, you need to make it count, especially if you're doing it all on your own. Okay, so why stories? Stories are kind of the secret weapon here, the absolute best way to market your food company. They fulfill a very human need for connection, and connection is part of having people know, like, and trust you. For a business relationship, that's crucial. And let's face it, food lends itself so well to telling stories. Not only do you have the food itself, but the preparation, the farmers who grow it, the chefs who cook it, the restaurants who serve it, the folks who eat it. The possibilities are endless. Story marketing is kind of a buzz phrase right now, but don't write it off as a gimmick. Really, storytelling has always been a mainstay of good marketing. It solves a perennial problem. What do I do? What do I say? For business owners trying to come up with content that engages visitors and encourages them to take action. So, what we're going to do today is look at three basics of marketing to help you get clear on your messaging, and then talk about four ways to tell stories, and then five ways to make social media work for you. So it's 3, 4, 5, and you're off. Sound good? Well, let's step back for just a quick moment to look at some basic marketing principles. I've worked as a copywriter for a number of years, and when working with a new client, we always work towards finding answers to these three questions. So three basic concepts. The first is, who is your target market? The second is figuring out what sets you apart in the marketplace. And the third is defining your key marketing message. So if you can just kind of think of those three pieces as the building blocks, and if you get those into place, then you can start there and expand. So when I work with clients, I ask questions like, who is your target market, your best and ideal client? What is it that you do that fixes problems for them? Because as business owners and as entrepreneurs, we're always solving problems for somebody else. They're looking for the answers that we have, and so it's our job to get out there and share that with people. And just so we're clear, the correct answer to who is your target market is not everyone. It may seem counterintuitive because if you're producing and selling food, you want as many people to buy as possible. But listen, your target market is simply your ideal customer. By defining the people who get what you're trying to do with food and are most likely to appreciate and buy what you're offering, you're not precluding anyone else from buying too. But your marketing needs to address your best customer, as it were, because your target market, your ideal client, will be your most loyal and most consistent customer over the long run. So just as I always want to know about the target market, I also want to know about what sets you apart in the marketplace, what makes you different. There's something that makes you unique in the services that you offer, and so to be able to specify that is important. Even if you're a farmer, for example, and growing similar crops to others, you can still tell your story in a way that's unique to you. And then in terms of putting together a key message, your key marketing message is 2 to 3 paragraphs that talk about who you serve, what their challenges are, and how you solve those challenges in a way that's different from anyone else. Now, how this helps? Well, let's take social media, for example. If you have in your mind what your key marketing message is, and you're clear that you're speaking to your ideal client, when you start to think about, okay, now what am I going to post on Facebook today, or what am I going to tweet? It can always be thinking and moving in terms of solving the problems of your clients, talking directly to them about whatever issues that you're going to fix for them. So that's a brief Marketing 101 overview, and we'll get back to social media in a little while, but now I want to move towards telling stories in a food business. Let me start with the good news. For those people interested in your food, whether you're producing it, distributing it, cooking it, serving it, I don't think you can underestimate how much information they want to know about your food. Where does it come from? Who grew it? Why did you choose to put those ingredients together? Can I make this at home somehow, some way? Is it seasonal? What's your favorite food for the season? So we're going to look at 4 ways to get started in thinking about food storytelling. Number 1, make it personal. There are no original stories. When I worked in Hollywood earlier in my career, I used to hear this a lot, or that there were only 7 stories and plot lines told over and over again. But what makes a great story is when you take something the audience is familiar with and spin it with your own twist. So yes, we've all eaten chicken before, but have you ever seen it prepared like this? Or yes, we've all seen those cornfields with row after row of tall corn stalks, but did you know the purpose of the silks in a corn stalk? The other thing about making a story personal is to remember that people would rather buy from a person than a brand. So anything you're willing to share that gives people a way to connect with you is good. If you're the shy type, see if you can recruit someone in your company to be a public face for your brand. The tone of your writing is another way to make social media personal. If you're a hip, trendy place, your writing needs to be hip and trendy. I don't mean using all the buzzwords, but your writing needs to be light, succinct, even maybe a little bit flip. Number two, realize that your ideal customer really wants to hear your stories. For those of us interested in local sustainable food, and I certainly count myself among them, we want to know everything. I had read a lot about sustainable agriculture and the whole farm-to-table movement, whose name I guess has kind of become a cliche, but really it's a focus on local eating, on seasonal eating, and on having some cognizance of the impact of the foods we choose on the environment and ecosystem. I read everything I could find, all kinds of differing points of view, because I was interested in learning everything I could. I have friends who raise chickens in their backyards, and every time I talk to them, they have a story about what the chickens did. So if chickens play any role in your food business, you have stories to tell. Your customers want to hear your stories because, again, it provides a connection for them with what you're doing. Number three, it's okay to borrow stories from other food folks. Here's what I mean. It's perfectly okay to borrow stories from other compatible businesses. For example, if you're a chef preparing an autumn dish of root vegetables with goat cheese from local suppliers, you've got several stories right there. You've got the root vegetables and the farmer raising them. You have the cheesemaker to talk about. And if you're the farmer or cheese producer, you've got that chef and that dish to talk about. Think of a circle with 5 to 10 other circles surrounding it and connected to it. If we put root vegetables at the center of the circle, we're going to connect stories to that center. Here's the goat cheese we're adding, here's the dish they became part of, here's how they were grown, etc. And any one of you who play a part in any of those circles can tell those stories in the other circles because of the interconnectedness. And social media, by the way, is really great for this kind of short, sweet story. You can say something like, "We're honored to be on the menu at such and such restaurant this week. Try their root vegetables with our goat cheese." So you don't always need to tell stories about your own food business. Sometimes you can talk about food in general or a cooking technique. And don't forget about highlighting your employees from time to time. How long have they been working for you? What is their background? What brings them to farming or the restaurant business? What is their favorite dish? Number four, let your customers tell some stories for you. If you're in the business of selling food at a farmer's market to a happy shopper, to a chef who's going to use it in that night's menu, or to the 7 p.m. table for four reservation, you will have an opportunity to get feedback from your customers. They will photograph your food, they will fill out comment cards, they will ask you questions at a market, or join your CSA. Ask if you can use the good and great comments in your marketing, and instead of saying how wonderful you are, your customer can. This is a great way to borrow some credibility. Oh, and here's a bonus. Don't forget about educating the consumer. There's nothing wrong with having a point of view. If you're a chef, why do you buy from local farmers instead of the big guys? Why is that important to you? Why might that be important to me? Finally, we're going to look at 5 ways you can use social media to tell your food stories. Most people are probably on at least one social media platform these days, and the good news is that there's room on social media for just about any story you want to tell. If you're operating a restaurant, for example, there's plenty of room for menu specials, one-off events, and promotions. Now, the less than good news is that those stories are not necessarily what's going to build your audience over the long term or encourage engagement with your visitors. I spend a lot of time poking around Facebook pages of food businesses near me, and while some of them are doing a great job at mixing up good information with promotions, some seem to forget that the underlying purpose of social media is to share, not to sell. Social media is about sharing. It's about being generous with your information and what you know. Success in social media comes from not just sitting behind your computer, but actually joining a conversation. So you're creating content, but you're also going to be reading other people's posts. You're going to be sharing. You're going to be commenting, retweeting, liking other people's content, and adding value wherever you can. Social media is very much a giving and generous endeavor, and that's what makes it work. So here are my 5 tips to consider when telling your stories on social media. Number one, pick your social media platforms carefully. The best platform for one food business may not be good at all for another. It depends on, and it goes back to what we talked about earlier in terms of a target market, where your ideal clients are on social media. It's really difficult for a small food business or entrepreneur to be on all the social media platforms. Social media is full of bright, shiny objects, and it's very easy to be distracted. My recommendation that you start with one platform, get comfortable there, see if that's where your peeps are hanging out, and then move to another one. You don't have to do it all at one time. And you don't have to know all the technical details about social media either. There's a lot of information out there, and there are a lot of people who are experts at the ins and outs on the technical details of how to do anything in any social media platform you can imagine. So don't get bogged down in technical details. Your main goal is to think about how your stories can add value for your community. Number two, pick one that's best suited to the kind of stories you want to tell. Twitter, for example, is great for keeping customers in the loop about daily specials. And that's actually a good example of content that is both promotional but handy. Oddly enough, I keep mentioning to one of my favorite restaurants that they're missing an opportunity in not using Twitter to send out daily specials, because although I'm not calling them every day to find out the specials, I'd be there in a minute if I knew they were serving the special chicken tacos. I like Facebook because you can tell longer stories and include photos and videos as well. Oh yeah, and there are, after all, about 1.35 billion active users on the site each month, so there's that. Images are huge on Facebook as they are on Instagram. If what you want to produce is videos, then you'll need a video channel for sure, YouTube or Vimeo, for example. And don't forget that you can post links to your videos on other channels. Instagram, great for photos, both yours and those of your customers. Foursquare and Yelp are also big in the food business. Let me also offer you a general rule of thumb for social media promotion. It's the 80-20 rule. So for every 8 stories you tell, you can offer 2 promotions or specials. And I wouldn't count posting your daily specials on Twitter as a promotion. You get a pass on those. Number 3, remember that social media should not be all your marketing. It is a piece of your marketing, but your website is the one piece of the online world that you actually own. Your website is still where you want to keep your best content, your blog if you're writing one, an opportunity for folks to join an email list to get regular updates. Your website is still your business hub, and it needs to be that because that's the only part that you really control. So as much as we love social media, your website still needs to be the place that your customers come to find out more about you and to possibly engage with you from that place. Number 4, look for new ways to tell your story every day. Social media is not a one-size-fits-all endeavor. It is, by definition, personal. I mean, you're out there, even if you're representing your business, you're out there as a person interacting with other people, and that's kind of the genius in what makes social media so interesting. I think there's it's human nature to interact with other people. I think we are, by definition, a networking kind of people, even if it doesn't feel particularly easy all the time. Number 5, aim for consistency. Just like everything else in marketing, you create a plan and then you work the plan. If you post once or twice a month on Facebook, that's not going to be effective in terms of building your community. And remember that even though you're going for entertaining stories, they still need to convey your marketing message. So if your brand or your key marketing message is that you are all about organic, then that needs to be front and center. In every post or tweet? No. I guess what I'm encouraging is a kind of mindfulness when you're choosing what to post. Remember what your central message is and who you're talking to. Consistency in marketing is often tough for small businesses and entrepreneurs. And that's the reason that we have problems as entrepreneurs. We have the feast and famine syndrome. It's because we're not consistently marketing. Social media is the same thing. It's a habit you need to acquire to consistently post. Many folks use an editorial calendar to provide a framework for planning. I can just about guarantee you it's going to be hard to be consistent if it's just in your mind that you need to get a post up on Facebook today. I think it's the consistency that really makes it worthwhile. And once you have in your mind, oh, these are the things that I'm focusing on, it makes it a lot easier to actually produce the tweets and the Facebook posts that you need. It makes it simpler to produce those great stories when you're not thinking every day, okay, what am I going to say? Telling your story well offers great opportunities for putting a new spin on your message, but finding time to create these new marketing avenues can be challenging. Let me share a couple of ways that I can help you save time and energy in using story marketing to grow your food business. You might need help with an overall storytelling strategy, where we can work to develop your key marketing message, decide on appropriate social media platforms, and set up a plan for implementation. That's one place I can help. Or you might have ideas for stories but aren't sure how to write them so that you can motivate your visitors to become customers of your business. I can help you with persuasive copywriting to create the content that will get you those results. Some clients hire me just to write social media posts for them. So I contract to create 5 to 6 original Facebook posts or a certain number of tweets. And I can help you with online video script writing or can create short whiteboard videos for you that explain your products or services. I believe that story marketing can be what sets you apart in your marketplace. It makes you a color crayon in a box of plain pencils. Contact me on my website, storiestastegood.com, and let me know how I can help you make your stories taste good. I'm Karen Konakanui.